In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott. With a great delight, I have in my little study here at home my husband, Lars Grin. And we've been asked to talk a little bit about marriage. Lars, welcome to Gateway to Joy.
Well, thank you. It's a privilege again and a great surprise to be able to be on the program. Some of the listeners may remember that I had about a week's worth, a year ago or so, and there was never any stampede of invitations after that, so I really didn't have in mind that I'd ever get back on. So, rather pleased that you asked me. Well, before we get into the marriage aspect of it, I didn't really think we were going to have one theme. I thought this was going to be one of those, what do you call that word? That's sort of a French word, P.O.
Potpourri.
Yeah, it's potpourri. I ought to, maybe for some of the people who do not know it, how it was that we got married in the first place, or at least how we met. And I'd been living in Atlanta, Georgia, and through remarkable circumstances and many providential turns, it turned out that I wrapped up the business of being a manufacturer's representative for Better Ladies Ready-to-Wear, we used to call it back then, and went off to seminary. Gordon Conwell, which is only about 10 miles down the road from where we now live. When I arrived as a older student, the first day of classes, it was the funeral of one of the beloved professors there, Dr. Addison Leach. I attended that funeral, and afterwards there was a coffee hour where students were to be given the opportunity to pay their respects and say a few words about what Dr. Leach had meant to them in their studies and in their own lives. And, of course, this was all directed to the widow. So during that time, I listened, and then at the very end, this woman stood up, and I remember a few words that the widow said. "Just because I'm standing up, I do not want you to worry, but I would like to say a few words in response to these kind remarks." And when I thought to myself that here's someone who has just been to the funeral of her husband and be able to stand up and speak as she did, it really impressed me as being a woman of tremendous strength. And I remember just thinking to myself, that is some kind of woman. As it turned out, I had about 3 or 4 days on campus living in a dormitory, and I realized that I was way, way beyond the stage of being able to do that. So I began at once to look for housing off campus. I was very fortunate to find something, a lovely old mansion type overlooking water, and the lady there had never had anyone live there, and so when I interviewed for it, she accepted me as her first lodger. However, it was on a Wednesday, and I wanted to move that same day, but she wanted to have me wait until the following Sunday. Well, I finally couldn't talk her into doing anything differently, so I said, well, I can stay in 3 or 4 more days of campus living. On my return to the campus, I was very surprised to bump into the dean of students, who asked if I had found a place, and I said yes. Oh, he said, there was a Mrs. Leach who had called, and she has a place, and of course it's within walking distance. The place that I had found was, of course, several miles away, and it would have to mean that I'd drive the automobile, but I thought, well, maybe I ought to call this woman up and check that out. So I did. I called Mrs. Leach and asked if I could come down to interview for her room that she had for another lodger. That afternoon, I believe it was, or the next day after the funeral, I went and I met her in the house, sat and talked for a little bit. And at the time when I was leaving, she said, there is one other student who has first refusal. This was a young fellow whose home was in Boston, and he had not decided whether he should drive back and forth to school and live at home, or if he should find a place up in Hamilton and live there. As it turned out, he decided to commute. And that evening, I had a little note in the mailbox saying that the room was available if I wanted to take it. Well, I did take it. And it was only the day after Dr. Leach was buried that I moved in and the widow became my landlady. I lived there for 2 years before she kicked me out. Of course, I ought to also say that there was the other lodger. He also lived there 2 years, and he also left, but he graduated. And about a year after, no, 2 years after he graduated, he returned and married Mrs. Leach's daughter. Well, it took me a little bit longer. It took me about 4 years after I got kicked out of the house to convince Mrs. Leach to become Mrs. Gren. So that's how we met. We had a most unusual meeting in her being the landlady and me the lodger.
Well, it is amazing to me when I think back to how the Lord brought you to my house. And, of course, this woman whose voice you're hearing, you hear me talk about Elizabeth Elliot. That happened to be my first husband's last name, Jim Elliot. Then my second husband was, as Lars has told you, Dr. Addison Leach. He died of cancer after 4.5 years of marriage to me. And as far as I can tell, Lars, you're looking pretty hale and hearty today. And we've had, what is it now,
23 years. Well, once you get past 20, you know, you sort of lose count. And it's just, we get so enamored with each other that it just blends 1 year into the next. But it's been a delightful time. I can't believe the time has gone by, the years that have gone by like that. It has flown by. But I was thinking back about Dr. Leach, and certainly, I think you ought to say something about his character. He must have been a terrific man, and all the students loved him. And I think of your first two husbands, Jim Elliot and Addison Leach, I think probably I would have had an easier time getting along with Ad Leach than I would Jim Elliot. I think I would have been rather petrified to be around him with this spiritual...
giant.
What would it be, a giant?
Well, other people have called him a spiritual giant. He certainly did love the Lord, but he was a young man when he died. He was 28. And Addison Leach was almost 65 when he died, and he and I had just those 4.5 years together. But as you say, he was an interesting, very remarkable man, actually, and had a tremendous sense of humor, which has been the case with all three of the husbands that God has given me. And let me put in a parenthesis here. You can imagine how many women have said to me, I don't understand why God would give you three husbands when he's never even given me a date. Well, how am I supposed to answer that question? I thought it was a miracle that I got married the first time. But Ad had a great sense of humor. And I can remember one time he was called late on a Saturday night and asked if he could come in and take the place of a world-renowned pastor who was sick. He was supposed to appear and was not going to be able to, so it was Addison Leach to whom they turned. And so when he stood up to talk to the people the next day, he said that they had called so-and-so and he couldn't come, and then they called the next one and he couldn't come. And so in our desperation, we asked Addison Leach. So when Addison Leach got up to the pulpit, he said, "Can you imagine the favor that I'm doing you now? Think what the other guy would have been like if I had said no after they had gone through two or three possibilities."
Of course, he had some pretty good credentials, too, because he was a doctorate from, what was it,
Cambridge University
in
England.
Cambridge University. Well, just in case anybody is wondering about the fact, I don't have any doctorate, and I don't have any real theological credentials such as that, so I just sometimes say, well, I'm just plain old Lars. But it seems to have been enough for you at this time.
Yes, Lars has many ways that he has blessed me. I think of probably the biggest job that he has nowadays is helping me with travel when I'm invited to speak, and he takes the books. And I'm just amazed at the numbers of books that seem to disappear from the book table when Lars is in charge. He's a very laid-back man. He used to be, as he told you in the beginning, he used to be in the ladies' clothing business, which doesn't seem to have anything to do with books. And yet, he has been given a gift by God to know how to deal with people. And I am unutterably grateful. And we'll talk some more tomorrow.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.